We start our third and final hour. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome, live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Having a good day. I'm having a good day. Not everybody else is. If you're joining us late, we talked about the breaking story this morning. Urban Meyer is stepping down after the Rose Bowl. Reportedly. Allegedly. I'm not totally convinced. I know he has physical issues. I'm not saying that that's not a real thing, because it is. But I've seen this before. I've seen these pressers before. I've heard him step down before, either for health reasons or to spend more time with his family, only to see him bounce right back. So I don't want to get too caught up in what this guy's legacy might be, because when you talk about legacy, you're talking about somebody who's done doing what he had done. I'm not convinced he's done doing it. And if you want to consider the possibility that maybe he is finished and you want to talk legacy, all right, let's talk legacy. Damn good football coach, period. Period. Not some great molder of young men. Not some great ethical builder of character. Damn good football coach. Period. If you want to add owned Jim Harbaugh, go ahead and do that. But I'll leave it at that. If you want to get into it, let's go ahead. Do you think that he is retiring, or do you think that he's quitting? Is he retiring, or is he stopping at Ohio State? Can you see this guy jumping on another opportunity? And, of course, a lot of you honks thought it was pretty hilarious to say, hey, Clay Hilton, don't get too comfortable. This guy will be in L.A. soon enough. Would that be a calculated play, wouldn't it? Much like him going to Ohio State when he did, to a conference that was down. Could you see that guy coming to L.A. to try and take over the monster, the sleeping monster that is USC? That would be something else, man, wouldn't it? That would be so rich. I'd love to see that. 1-800-636-8686. But he says it's for health, so we'll see. Quickly, some tweets. Johnny Scabs tweets. Adam Hawk graduated high school. Show me the video. I would love to see the video.
Yeah, I would love to see the video.
Jerry Hughes talking about, I would love to see the video. The video where he's screaming at a referee, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. Guaranteed. You called me a bitch. I would love to see the referee that called any NFL player that. See, we don't have video of that. Again, Ross Tucker said it. Maybe Hughes thought that he heard that. Or maybe Ellison did say that. But if an NFL referee called a player that word, that to me would be a first. I find that very hard to believe. Especially a guy like that who's that aggressive. That physical, that intimidating. It's a pretty courageous referee. I mean, those guys are taught to disengage, right? Not escalate. That weird story. At Table Slam Fan tweets, I'll catch you, guaranteed. I'll catch
I'll
you.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Regards, Alvy shouting at Antonio Cromarty.
Dude, no.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Dude.
Yo, Crow.
I'll catch you.
Crow, I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Dude.
I'll catch you, Crow.
You,
Mill and I will catch you, Crow. I'll catch you, guaranteed, Crow.
Dude.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
I'm a fertile mother. I'll catch you.
Dude.
I'll catch you, Crow.
You, guaranteed.
You ain't got nothing on me, Crow. I'm going to blow right by you. I'll blow right by you like you're stuck in quicksand, Crow. Hey, Rome, I'll catch you. Signed, baby Jessica's babysitter before dropping her into a well.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Hey, Aaron in Omaha, you're blocked, guaranteed.
Blocked!
Chris R. Cobos tweets, I'll catch you, guaranteed.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Signed, Mike McCarthy, hearing the ice cream truck today.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Is there ever a better sound when you're a kid than the ice cream truck?
I'll catch
like a little crack house on wheels.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
Hawk just goes, it's the worst sound if you don't have money. Hawk, will you shut up, man? Stop talking to me. I know that's kind of a rarity for a host to say to an EP, but can you stop talking to me, please? It's the worst sound if you don't have money.
Don't talk to me, all right?
Knock it off, Hawk. I really don't want to hear about your childhood issues, about how your family, you came up poor and uneducated. I'm sorry that you couldn't afford a big stick. at G Self Glosser tweets, show me the video. Signed, the 10 guys in Jay Stu's dorm room.
I would love to see the video.
I just put two and two together that Jason Stewart is Jason from Fullerton, the old caller. I go out with a buddy of mine, my JV coach at the time, who went to Fullerton, and he's a buddy of Jason's and a couple of his friends. We go over to this house on a Friday night, and Jason and about 10 guys are sitting in a room watching porno, and he's bragging about how he's this caller on your show. And I never met a more pathetic group of losers. We're going out looking for chicks, and they're watching porno with guys.
I would love to see the video.
I'm just going to leave that at that.
With guys.
Yeah, I heard, Alvin. TFP will eat tweets. I'll catch you, guaranteed. Sign Norv to the Pineapple Factory bomber.
I'll catch you, guaranteed.
I don't think there's ever been one recorded explosion on public record at a pineapple factory. I've never heard of a pineapple factory having an explosion.
I would love to see the video.
If so, I would love to see the video.
Yeah, I would love to see the video.
Because I'm sure there would be video if such a thing existed. Just clones doing what clones do, resetting three of the stupidest things ever, year after year after year. Let me ask you this. What if I came in here every single day and I did the same jokes year after year after year and there were only two of them and I did that all day, every day? That wouldn't be a very good show, would it? Except that's what you do. A lot of you do. The same tired jokes, two of them, year after year after year. The pineapple factory explosion joke. Really, that's it. Just one joke.
Over and over and over and
over and over and over. No, not me. I give you a new show every single day.
Over and over.
I'm good like that. I give you a different show every single day. All right. Now, one thought about the Patriots. I never thought that I would say this, but it really has been a wildly entertaining last 2 days for the Pats. When have I ever described the Pats as, quote, wildly entertaining? At least by their standards. I'll say that. A team that rarely gives you anything at all to talk about other than boring wins, the occasional loss, and maybe the deflation of a football or two. Oh, and whoever the hell they're playing next week. Somehow they have provided content from Sunday that I can actually justify jumping all the way to Tuesday. Really unusual. Starting with TB12. Starting with TB12, going TB1K. Tom Brady is a lot of things. A 5-time Super Bowl champ, a 4-time Super Bowl MVP, a 3-time NFL MVP, a 13-time Pro Bowler. But the one thing that he was not, until right now, was a 1,000-yard rusher. And that finally changed on Sunday in the first quarter. The pocket collapses, Brady steps up, and he takes off. He tucks it, he takes off, he slides into NFL history.
Brady moves up off the snap. Yeah. He's going to have a first down into a slide nice. Across midfield. Woo. He was chased eventually by Mackenzie Alexander. Brady beat the blitz with his legs.
Great read. He knew it too.
He was running for the 1,000-yard mark for his
over.
Career.
He finally hit it.
And all it took was 19 years and 265 games, but Tom Brady is finally a 1,000-yard career rusher. Never mind that Randall Cunningham did it in 27 games, and Brady needed an extra 238 games to join that exclusive club. Well done, Tommy. Way to be. And you'd think that that's just some kind of cute milestone that doesn't mean anything to the most decorated quarterback of all time. Well, if you think that, then you do not know TB12. Because not only did he take a knee, going forwards instead of backwards to preserve that electric 5-yard gain against the Vikings, my man went right to Instagram with the biggest fake out since the Mississippi Queen was interviewed at the Grove.
What's up? 9-3, but you know what? The only reason I've been playing 19 years is to get to that 1,000 yards. And I did it, so that's it. I'm out. Yeah. Time to ride off into the sunset. Nah, gotta get back to work.
Oh! Psych.
Psych.
Oh, damn, Tommy. I thought he was going to walk off on that. Man, he had me. You had me going there for a minute, Tom. For a second, I thought you were going to retire in the middle of a 9-3 season once you got that historic gain. Man, and way to hold that punchline for a solid 3 count. Way to sell the hell out of that. Oh, man, that was good. That was good. My man's funny. My man's got jokes. Lots of jokes. And as far as jokes go, you're not going to get a much better one than the one, well, really from anybody in Foxborough. The DMV provides more entertainment than these dudes do. Or so I thought. Because that's on me for getting caught sleeping on one Bill Burr Belichick. The dude in the hood wasn't about to be outdone in the comedy department on Sunday. And he went with a literal mic drop when he was asked about Tom Brady's accomplishment. Check this.
Tom got the 1,000 yards rushing, which I know you had mentioned in a past news conference. Do you have any thoughts on?
Yeah, that's really important to us. It's great. Okay, thank you.
No, Hood. Thank you. Thank you for that epic walk-off. Way to close the show. Make sure to tip the waitstaff. Am I right, Hood? I'd be shocked if anybody in that room has stopped laughing since Sunday. How are people supposed to leave the presser and drive home safely if they're busting up, wiping away tears from that zinger, Alvy?
Yeah, that's really important to us. That's great. Okay, thank you.
I mean, that would have been the highlight of the Hood's day. Had he not already yelled at Minnesota wideout Adam Thielen to shut the F up. Shut the F up. After he had to dig through both of his tube socks to find that challenge flag that Thielen thought that he was too late in throwing onto the field. That profane back and forth was seen by everybody, including WEEI, who asked Brady about it yesterday.
I've been on the other end of that a few times in my career with him. And that was pretty funny.
Do you go back at him?
No, I kind of laugh. But, I mean, he's, you know, it's competitive out there. I mean, it's just, it's very feisty and everyone's emotions are on their sleeves. And, you know, you say something and there's just an emotional reaction. But that was pretty funny.
Who was probably the best at going back at Belichick? Was it Vrabel?
Graves was pretty good. Light was pretty good. Junior Seau was pretty good. You know, the guys that tend to not give a you know what, were the best ones with him. I don't know. Julian's pretty good now. Julian's quick to go back at him now. So it's pretty funny.
Damn, who knew? Look at these guys. Check out Brady getting such a kick out of his coach telling Thielen to shut the F up. Of course that's hilarious to Brady. Belichick's probably told Brady that 1,000 times. And how about Brady diming on Edelman as a guy who goes after the hood? Can't wait till the media runs that back to Edelman looking for something good and then gets absolutely nothing. But here's the very best part of the past weekend. The media couldn't ask Julian Edelman about that because Belichick was so happy with his guys for getting over on a good Minnesota team, allegedly, that he actually gave these guys all an extra day off.
All right, we'll see you Wednesday.
That's the hood telling his guys, see you on Wednesday. Wednesday. And he says on a Sunday. That's the sound of 53 dudes who probably haven't had a day off in 53 months. Listen to the unbridled elation.
All right, we'll see you Wednesday.
Man, I don't know if I should say this, but are the Pats, I don't know, having fun? Seems like a foreign and borderline criminal thing for the Pats, but it seems like they're actually having fun. Brady kneeling forward to keep his 1,000 yards, then joking about retirement. Hood burning Brady for his measly little milestone. Brady loving that the Hood told Thielen to shut the bleep up. Hoodie giving his guys a day off when there are no days off. What the hell is going on in New England? Obviously, being 9-3 in December and having the inside track to a first-round bye is SOP. But laughing, smiling, taking an actual day off, enjoying their success? I don't know what the hell is going on there. These guys might be getting soft. Save it for the lacrosse podcast, Hood. You got 4 games to go. A Super Bowl run to go on. Come on, Hood. What happened to no days off? No days off. No days off, especially in September.
No days off.
Or one this week. That'll happen. Let's get out. Josh Heupel coming up next. Fellas, it's never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. You might think that it makes you look casual. More than likely, it makes you look like a slob. That's why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long, it's not too short, it's just right. Shirts designed so well, GQ calls them perfection. That's a quote. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion. From casual to dressy, not only do they look good, but they feel amazing. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. With more than 50 sizing options, every single guy can find the perfect shirt. So log on to untuckit.com. Check out all the new fall arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20 for 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also visit Untuck It in one of their over 35 retail locations across the country. So stop hiding your shirt with your pants with your shirt. Untuckit.com, your solution to perfecting casual. Use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off at untuckit.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right. If you're on hold, hang in. I will have time for telephone calls on the back end. But as promised, we are joined by the head football coach at UCF. 12-0 in his first season at UCF. Led UCF to the American Athletic Conference title this season. UCF has now won 25 straight. That is the longest active streak in FBS. They're ranked number 8. They've got a matchup with number 11, LSU, in the Fiesta Bowl. That's coming up on January 1st. Josh Heupel is my guest. Josh, really nice to have you back on. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
It's good to have you on, Josh. All right, so Saturday's conference title game really could not have gotten off to a worse start. Memphis scored on their first possession. Then your quarterback, Daryl Mack Jr., fumbled on your first possession. Memphis scored again, Josh. Just over 3 minutes into the game, you're down 14-0. It got worse. You were down 38-21 at halftime. So what was the mood like in the locker room, and did you sense any panic from your guys at all?
Yeah, I appreciate you reliving the horror show that was the first 30 minutes of football there.
Sorry, Coach.
We didn't play very well. We turned the ball over and did some things that we haven't done all year long. You know, we had 3 turnovers in the first half. Defensively, had a hard time fitting the run game. Didn't do a very good job. Weren't disciplined with our assignments. But there was no panic. We got really mature competitors on our football team. They believe in themselves. They believe in the guy next to them. Believe in the guy that's playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage, meaning, you know, if they're on defense playing on offense. Went in at halftime, made a few adjustments, and came out and just continued to compete and go play ball like it was 0-0.
All right, so let me relive the 5 straight possessions where you scored touchdowns. You come right out. Ultimately, you win that game. So what's it say about the second half, the way your team showed up in the program, that they were that resilient and they did battle back the way they did?
Yeah, I think that it shows that they are resilient. It shows that they're great competitors. It shows that they have a heart of a champion, that they can handle adversity. All the things that it takes to go win and have an undefeated season, all the things it takes to go undefeated for 2 straight years. Really proud of what our kids have done and how they've continued to compete. And just the brotherhood and the love that they have for one another and really how that's transcended through our program and allowed us to go compete and win championships.
UCF head football coach Josh Heupel is my guest. Now, you win that game without your star quarterback, Mackenzie Milton, who suffered that brutal injury against South Florida on November 23rd. On a personal level, what was it like for you to see him go down that way and then to hear some of the details about the severity of the injury?
Yeah, it's heart-wrenching. You care so deeply about everybody inside of your program. Certainly Mackenzie, everyone's got a great appreciation and understands what he's done inside of our program the last couple of years and what he meant to our football team. But every one of these kids, the amount of time and energy and sacrifice and discipline that goes into the work that it takes to have success on the football field, when they're stripped of those opportunities, it absolutely, it rips your heart apart. And obviously the severity of the injury with KZ, you're first just worried about his overall health and then ultimately his ability to come back as a competitor as well.
He's doing as well as he possibly can. He's got a heart of a champion, a true warrior spirit, and he's taking this thing head on.
You know, Josh, you talked about the brotherhood, the love. Milton and Max spoke right after the game. Max said that Milton told him that he loved him. How the team played says something about the team, but what does it say about the way Milton has handled all of this? What's that say about him as a person and as a leader?
It says that he is a great leader. It says that he does deeply care about his teammates, that he's poured everything he possibly can into them, that he cares more about the team than he does himself. He's just a true champion. You know, he after the ball game, my wife and I went up and were in the hospital with him that night after the USF game. Came back to town, and on Monday morning, you know, he had already had surgery on Monday morning. He was FaceTiming, and he was a part of our quarterback meeting, and he really was throughout the entire week of preparation for the conference championship game against Memphis. And I think it was great for him. It got him back around our guys, around the football side of it, rejuvenated him a little bit. But it was great for our players as well to see that he was doing well. And then he was still a part of what we were doing moving forward.
I don't know, Josh. I've done this a long, long time, and I'm accustomed to guys bouncing back, being mentally tough, being resilient. I mean, that had to have been such a traumatic thing to happen. How does a guy like that get his head wrapped around that quickly, that he's already FaceTiming, he's a part of the process, he's getting with his teammates? It would be so natural to be terrified or to feel sorry for yourself. How in the world did he get leverage on himself in his situation that quickly?
I think it just speaks to who and what he is, you know, and I'm talking about just internally. He has got a heart of a champion. He truly loves the guys inside of our building that are part of our football program, and pours everything he possibly can into those guys. And he's got a great warrior spirit about him. He continues to compete every single day. He's as special as anybody I've ever been around, and love and appreciate who he is and what he's meant to our program, and what he's going to continue to mean moving forward.
UCF head football coach Josh Heupel, my guest. The team went undefeated last year. The argument had been, yeah, well, let's see UCF do that again, and then you go out and you do it again. Do you feel like the program is getting the respect that it deserves and it has earned on a national level?
I think people recognize what we have done on the football field. I think there's an appreciation and a respect in college football for that. Do I think, you know, the process is right? No, I think our kids have earned the right to go prove something on the football field. We're excited about the bowl game against LSU. But, you know, ultimately I got to believe that, you know, this playoff is going to be expanded and allow more people into the process.
I was going to say, I mean, you're focused on LSU. You got to take care of your business still yet, especially to make that argument. But if, in fact, you do that and things go your way and you earn that victory on the field, do you feel like the field will be expanded? And what would you expand it to if it were up to you?
I don't have all the answers. I mean, I think ultimately it goes to 8 and it plays from there. You know, there's 6 conference champions that get into the process. There's going to be 2 at-larges. That's how I, you know, potentially see it unfolding. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, a goal of ours as our football team was to get in the playoff. We didn't do that. Our kids are excited. Our program's excited about going out and competing against a great football team in LSU. Got a great amount of respect for their coaching staff, their players, what they have done throughout the course of this season, the history and the tradition of that program. We're excited about going and playing in a Fiesta Bowl. And at the end of the day, our kids have been successful this season and handled it the right way because they focused on what matters, and that's their preparation, controlling today. Our kids, when we get back off the road recruiting and start our bowl prep, they'll get back to what matters and prepare in a great way to go out and play a football game.
Right, so it's a tremendous opportunity for the program, for the players. As you look at LSU, and you'll get into this, I'm sure, but as you look at them right now, what concerns you the most about that matchup?
I haven't watched them over the years. I know they're going to be athletic with their skill positions in all 3 phases of the game, offensively, defensively. You know, they're going to be big and physical on both sides of the line of scrimmage. I haven't gotten into the tape yet. Just haven't watched them through the years, knowing the type of personnel that they have. You know, they're going to pose those issues for us, and our kids will be ready to go compete and go play, though.
Josh, one thing before you go. There's this great video of a UCF student who'd been waiting for Fiesta Bowl tickets since 4 p.m. on Sunday, finally got a chance to buy her tickets. We've talked in the past about the support that you get in the bounce house, and it was rocking once again during the title game. You knew coming into this job that the UCF fan base was really passionate. You knew you had fan support. Did you have any idea that it was to that extent, though?
I really didn't, man. This is one of the youngest universities in the country. It's the second largest university in the country. It's continuing to grow every single year. Our community has embraced us with open arms. The stadium's packed every single Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. Every game we walk out that tunnel, it's jam-packed. It's as an electric of atmosphere as I have coached in or played in anywhere in college football. And I think, you know, the more we continue to you know, host College Game Day and those types of things, I think people will have their eyes open to the experience that our players and that our fans are creating at UCF.
Last thing I got to ask you about, when you arrived, right after, you said to the players, hey, listen, the traditions, what's important to you? What do you want to keep? One of them involved cheesecake. What is that tradition, and what's it mean to the players?
Yeah, well, our offensive and defensive linemen on Friday night when we finish our team meal, that's their favorite dessert. We got a few other desserts there. We got a good dessert bar going on. But the cheesecake was important to a couple of the big fellas. So we kept the cheesecake. We changed a few other things. But our players enjoyed making sure that they had their sweets on Friday night.
I see you working. UCF, 25 straight wins. That is the longest active streak in FBS. Number 8 UCF going up against number 11 LSU in the Fiesta Bowl January 1st. Josh, appreciate having you on. Appreciate the program. It's been very good to this program as well. Good luck to you. Hope we can do it again soon.
Always appreciate it.
You got it, Josh. Have a great day. Josh Heupel, head football coach at UCF. They've won 25 straight. And once again, I don't care where you do it. 25 straight is 25 straight. And I'm going to answer the question that I posed to him. No, they're not getting the respect they deserve. You win 25 straight, you deserve more respect than they're getting right now. And he said, I think ultimately, I love the way he put it too, we just want a chance to address it on the field. We want the opportunity to make our point on the field. He's not asking for anything. He's not asking for anything to be given to them except a chance to perform on the field. So ultimately, you'll have to expand the playoff. If you've got UCF going undefeated every single year and they don't get a chance to be in the playoff, then the playoff field is not big enough. But they do have to take care of business in the Fiesta Bowl first. If they do that and they finish the year undefeated, then they've got a real argument, right? When we come back, and also, the way Mackenzie Milton reacted to that traumatic injury is incredible to me. That he came out of surgery and a day later he was FaceTiming with the quarterback room, it's incredible. All right, last segment still ahead. 1-800-636-8686 is Mark in Hollywood, who came with some crazy heat regarding Urban Meyer and Ohio State going to wire the field. Or is somebody going to step up right now during this break and rip the huge call of the day? 1-800-636-8686. Also, in case you missed it, we did not have Trevor Price for the RPO. Ross Tucker, on short notice, pinch hitting and crushed it. Listen to the RPO after today's program. I think you'll like it a lot. All right, so a couple of things I mentioned going into the break. Mark in Hollywood came in hot early, and I said that it was most likely that he would wire the field, make it a boat race, unless somebody were to step up this segment and rip that from him. And then I looked at my call screen and I saw the one guy who did not RSVP for the hackoff. Everybody did. You picked 8 candidates for it, and within the first show, 7 RSVP'd yes. Some that were not on the list RSVP'd, except for one guy, Jeff in San Antonio. So he was right there, which kind of hyped me up because, number one, we were going to have the complete 8 RSVPs, and number two, if anybody could take down Mark in Hollywood and prevent him from wiring the field, it was Jeff in San Antonio. But then for some reason, he hung up. That'll happen, I guess. So, in an attempt to prevent this guy from making it a boat race and wiring the field, let's go to the phones. Matt in L.A. has been waiting. Matt, what's going on?
Snagger Bass. Thanks for the vine. Hey, now in Aldi's defense, man, of course the DeLauro Christmas card is a big production. He has to rent out a Sony soundstage in Culver City just to get all 25 kids in. But that's not why I called, Romy. In between handling my business like we bosses do, you know how we do it, Rome. I was caught, you know, catching the jungle. I caught a little snippet earlier from a noted pedophile state university alumnus actually calling out Urban Meyer? I'd say Mark bumping Bollywood is better than that, but we all know he's not. Hey, Marky Mark, why don't you work more on polishing off Big Wang or macking a dude to hang with Britney Skank or whatever it is your D-list acting does, because that OSU take you had was as whack as your last attempt of writing a good treatment, you SAG card-toting bag. Keep OSU out your mouth. That's all I got, Jim. Were Irate Craig graduating to prawns for his Bluetooth modules? Unwore those Canadian kumquats stalking Rich Ackerman. Outro.
Rack him, Matt in L.A. Yeah, I know a lot of you don't like this guy. I know a lot of you don't like this guy. He makes me laugh every single time. I'm just glad he didn't go with a jello testicle blast. Matt in L.A. Too much. All right, is that going to be enough? Will that be enough to take down Mark in Hollywood? I said, if you want to beat the guy, to be the man, you got to beat the man. He went right at the guy. When I said, is there going to be somebody who is going to rip this from him? He went right at him. Is it going to be enough? There was another guy who wanted a piece of Mark, and then he just hung up. I wonder who he was scared of. It must have been Matt, right? He must have thought to himself, yeah, I told Hawk that I was coming for Mark in Hollywood, but Matt got there first. If the guy hung up, it's not because of Mark. He was coming for Mark. It's because of Matt. Maybe Matt did do enough. Maybe it's there. I want to talk some Michigan for a minute. How about this guy? This guy's been on hold pretty much for all of 2018. Josh in Detroit, why not, right? Josh, you made it in. What's going on?
Hey, Rome. Thanks for the vine. Speaking of the hack-off, Rome, because I'm the number one seed, I'm the most potent seed since Albies. And speaking of Michigan fan, you know they all did their little pump fist when they found out that Herb wasn't coming back to Ohio State next year. You know, they probably stopped the assembly lines and pump fist pumping in their cubicles because they know they can't beat Herb in Ohio State. You know, I might be from this great state of Michigan, but I'm not a Michigan honk. If you didn't go to the school, Michigan fan, why are you even rooting for the school, you Walmart Wolverine? And another thing, Rome, I thought I'd catch up on some holiday shopping over the weekend. I walked in, the salesman asked me, how can I help you? And I said, I'll take it. Rack me, Jim.
That's not a good car. No.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
I've never seen a guy with less game and more confidence. Josh, what the hell does that even mean? I went to do some holiday shopping this weekend, and the sales dude said, how can I help you? And I said, I'll take it. Dude, are you looking for a mic to drop on that line? Well, what the hell does that even mean? Like, you have so much game, you'll take everything? You'll have one of everything? You're so rich, you can buy whatever you want? Like, what did any of that mean, Josh? Bro, that's why you're the one seed for the hack-off. Because your calls are terrible, your game is even worse, and you're walking around like you're Brad in Corona. Dude, that's why you're the one seed. If ever there was a reason to bring back the hack-off, that call was it. That and Lauren from Naples. Jeff in San Antonio is the only guy who could save this. The only guy who could rip the call from Mark in Hollywood. Now, I'll tell you what, at least I'm glad. Usually I regret taking a Josh call. Not that time. That made no sense at all, Josh. Even for you, that was crap. That made no sense whatsoever. I would ordinarily say, man, go find some local show to run that to. There's not even a bad local show where that would have been good. That call was not good. That call doesn't live anywhere. That call made no sense anywhere. I could just sit back and like take the reaction now. That's why you're the one seed. In that sense, a one seed has never lost to an eight seed in the hack-off and never will. Not while you're the one seed. And remember, it's the inverse. One is bad. In the hack-off, you don't want to be a top seed. At Total Big E, Josh is going to boat race the Hackoff. Oh, he will. He will. With content like that, it is going to be a boat race. You know the concept of a boat race? That once a boat gets a lead in a boat race, no other boats ever come back to win because it's a boat race. Nothing ever happens in a boat race. Somebody gets their nose out in front and they win. That's Josh. Josh would make the first call as the one seed, and nobody would have a chance to run him down. Reginald Merriweather III tweets, war pump fisting.
You know they all did their little pump fist when they found that.
They were pump fisting.
Pump fist.
Nothing like a big pump fist.
Pump fist.
War pump fisting.
Pump fist.
Number six had nothing to do with that. Don't come in here with your resets of number six pump fisting.
Pump fist.
Man, Josh, you were the worst, dude. I mean, you're a good dude. You really are. You're a good dude and a horrible caller. Dude, you're just walking around, man, like you're so swagalicious. Dude, that was terrible. Not only are those bad takes, they're takes that just don't make sense. Like, I can't decode them. I can't explain them. I don't know what they mean. Then you know what happened, Rome? Then I went to the mall, and then I went into a store, and the sales rep rolled up on me and said, "Can I help you, sir?" And I said, "Yes." Then the sales manager said, "Get out of my way, I'll handle this." "Excuse me, sir, can I help you?" "I'll take it." Oh, Josh, you went there.
And I said, "I'll take it." Rack me, Jim.
Joseph Thomas Henry tweets, "I hate Josh in Detroit. Signed everyone in Michigan." He reps you, Detroit. He's not Josh from San Antonio. He's not Josh from L.A. He's not Josh from Tampa. Josh in Detroit. He reps y'all. He's repping the 303. Check that. That's Colorado. 313. Jeff from the 919 tweets, "Damn, you're lying if you hear that and don't think the Hackoff can work." Notice I'm not selling that anymore. I'm not saying that. I said initially the Hackoff no longer works, and then I played some of the old calls, and then I played some of the new calls, and notice I stopped saying that. Now instead of saying the Hackoff won't work, I've been saying or thinking to myself, when will it work? What day would it work best? Where do I put this thing? And every time one of those hacks calls and does something like that, the more I think it is going to work. Josh was the best argument for the Hackoff in quite some time.
Walmart Wolverine.
Walmart Wolverine. Warren Fawcett tweets, "Josh needs to be a none seed. Like a zero seed. Like a one seed's not good enough. He's so dominant, he should be a none seed."
Pump fist.
What with all that pump fisting going on?
Pump fist.
Huge call brought to you by Heat. Heat branded products are designed to keep your fuel system flowing. Even under the harshest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs, clean the fuel system. Heat, baby. Heat. H-E-E-T. Wells in the 360. Never seen a guy with less game and more confidence. Take a look across the glass. Hawk's not that bad. Hawk's bad, but not that bad. Josh is the none seed.
And I said, "I'll take it."
But thanks to Pete Thamel, Mark Few, Josh Heupel. Josh, the none seed. The XR4TI2. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. We will be right back here tomorrow. More of the same and better. See you then. We're out.